This is Mark Aaron James, and you're listening to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music. I'm Wesley Ryan, and this week I am thrilled to spotlight the music and inspirations of a truly talented artist, one whose music moves me, enlightens me, and entertains the heck out of me. It's not easy to pull any of those things off, but Mark Aaron James does them all. We will be having a lot of fun in this week's episode, listening to songs about superheroes and talking about things like badass unicorns. We'll also get into some pretty heavy conversations about stereotypes, labels, and social change. But before we do any of that, I want to play one of my favorite Mark Aaron James tracks that just moves me on a personal level. Kicking off an hour of Mark Aaron James music and inspirations, here he is with Invisible Man.
Late December on a foggy night, I was thinking that I should have stayed in bed. Dimly lit in a smoky bar, the scene turns into the night of the living.
Well, I have to tell you a story about my car, which sounds very weird, but hopefully it'll make sense.
Okay.
So I traded in this car I've had for several years, and I'm very neurotic and obsessive compulsive, so I'm going down my list of things I have to have. I sign all the paperwork, the car is mine, I get into it, and I realize for the very first time that it does not have a CD player. And so I was mortified, with music being my life, and then that just makes me think that it's very genius that your new album is available physically on a USB. So whose idea was that? Because that's fantastic.
Well, I mean, I'm a big Mac guy. And, you know, I put out an album like every 2 to 3 years. I had all the songs ready. I was excited about putting out a new album. And I just looked at the costs and how people were going to play it and what people wanted when I played shows and realized that, you know, in a couple of years, the CD just, the Macs aren't even coming with CD drives anymore.
Yeah.
Cars, as you just mentioned, aren't coming with CD drives anymore. And it just seemed like it was going to be spending a lot of money for, you know, for a very attractive coaster.
Yeah.
Whereas USB drives, although some of the MacBook Air doesn't have one of those now too, but it's still a universal thing on a computer. All the cars are still using it as the connection point. And it seemed to me that if I was going to really put out a physical album, and I play a lot of shows, it was, you know, and people want to take something away from a show, you know, they want a souvenir of it, that this would be a much more useful thing. Also, a CD isn't useful after you uploaded the music. If you're listening on any kind of player besides a CD player, it's just a piece of plastic that has no purpose. And a USB drive can still be reused. It's less plastic. With a 2 gig USB drive, you'd have to spend $15 on a Radio Shack anyways. So it seemed like a win-win.
Well, you might as well get some great music if you're going to buy one anyway, so I like that a lot.
Exactly. And it has so much space on it that I could include stuff from my previous album, so people who hadn't seen me before wouldn't have to buy, you know, all the albums. They could get my greatest hits in effect. You could put liner notes on it again. It's still allowed for album artwork, which I think is like great lost art, the album art, the album cover and things like that.
Absolutely. I used to love going through my CD booklets. I still have them, even my cassette tapes.
I miss lyrics being in the CDs, you know, because the book, they just stopped printing those big books anymore, and you know, so this has all the lyrics on it as well. When it came to me, I thought, this is perfect, I've got to do it.
I know it seems unusual, I know I come off strange, I'm too old for a toy, and I'm too young to use a cane. Best not to take it lightly, boy, don't judge a man too quick.
Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music. You just heard My Mighty Magic Stick, the title track from Mark Aaron James' latest album, which is indeed available in USB form at markaaronjames.weebly.com and in regular old digital format on iTunes. I always love talking to the artists on the show about the music that's inspired them over the years, but when I stumble across an artist as unique as Mark, it really intrigues me to find out what artists have had a hand in shaping his own sound. And when you hear some of the artists that have inspired Mark Aaron James, you'll definitely be able to hear some of those influences in his sound.
You have a really, really unique sound, so I was wondering who some of your influences were.
You know, when I was a kid, it was all about Billy Joel. He was kind of the first person that I actually understood wrote his own songs and had his own sound, even though he really didn't have his own sound. He kind of aped everybody else, but it was the first songwriter that made me write music. And then it became a weird mishmash of a lot of stuff. I went everywhere from, you know, AC/DC and Aerosmith and old Van Halen to Bare Naked Ladies, Elvis Costello, the Indigo Girls. College kind of just avalanched me with a lot of interesting music, but it was always about good songwriting and clever ways to say things.
What's a favorite Aerosmith song that you have?
I know it's trite to say it, but I'm still impressed that Steven Tyler can sing the end of Dream On to this day. And I just think that song has a gravitas to it that's, you know, I'm not 100% sure what it means, but it sounds important.
Well, you know, I was introduced to Aerosmith with that whole Alicia Silverstone crying crazy trilogy, and I had no idea he sang that song. I knew it, but his voice was just so powerful at the end of that song. I never connected it to him, so I found that out years later.
Oh, wow, that's a weird way to come to Aerosmith, I guess. But yeah, one of those classic bands.
You just heard Aerosmith with Crying and Billy Joel with We Didn't Start the Fire, two of my favorite 90s tracks. Now let's shift our gears back to Mark Aaron James' latest album, My Mighty Magic Stick, and to find out all about some of his favorite tracks.
But I also wanted to talk about some of the music on My Mighty Magic Stick. What inspired some of your favorite tracks?
I rarely write on assignment, so I was very proud of the title track, just because when I came up with the idea, that's when I came up with the song for the title. There isn't actually a song called My Mighty Magic Stick, which is a bunch of really goofy, euphemistic stick metaphors. So that was really fun. And then I also love Badass Unicorn, just because I think it's a kind of triumphant, weird way to say that song. There are two songs where they're kind of like in a vernacular I haven't done. I've always wanted to write something that sounds more like a standard or something that's been around for a long time. And I think Thursday Kind of Love has that Stand By Me vibe. And there's never been a song for the day Thursday. Every other day of the week has a big famous song. So I gave Thursday its song.
That's true. I never thought of that.
I'm hoping DJs across the world are going to play it every Thursday.
Well, Mariah Carey put out a song called Thirsty, which I thought she was saying Thursday. So I'm happy to replace yours.
Good.
We've got a Thursday kind of love. I'm galloping, and there might be blood on my horn. And I'll grant you a wish, darling, you got your wish. You're with a badass unicorn. Badass unicorn.
Well, my favorite is Badass Unicorn. I've always kind of dealt with people's stereotypes and fitting into other people's expectations. So I wanted to know if that's ever something you've experienced in music or in any other way.
Absolutely. I mean, when I made this album, this is a very diverse album. It's got a jazz song on it. It's got an Indian song on it. It's got a lot of pop and rock on it, but it varies from place to place. And a lot of people give you the advice not to do that. I think I've had a career long enough now where I can, but because people want to put everything in this little box and say, you know, this is this and this is that. And radio has really done that too. Where it used to be that a station that you heard Dolly Parton on, you could hear Aerosmith on too. And now it's, you know, very compartmentalized. So I think there's definitely a stereotype for sure.
Well, I also love the diversity in terms of wit and humor in your music because it's full of it. And I wanted to see why you think it's important that we have music like that, because I definitely think it is.
It's a fine line between novelty and clever, but there's no shame in novelty. I got to meet Weird Al Yankovic a while back, and I told him, you know, some of my favorite songs of yours are the ones that you actually wrote yourself. Because he really has a knack for being clever and funny. And I just think that anytime you can make a listener go, oh my God, I know that feeling. I've never heard it said that way before. Whether you're doing it seriously or in a joke, I think that's kind of what I'm aiming at. So yeah, I love music with a little nod. Everything from Bare Naked Ladies to Frank Zappa. You know, I think it's entertaining to listen to.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry. Sling us a web, you're the Spider-Man. Sling us a web tonight. Think
You just heard Weird Al Yankovic with Ode to a Superhero, which I'm pretty sure was all about Spider-Man, so I'm guessing Marvel wouldn't give him the rights to use old Peter Parker in the name of his song. It looks like DC Comics, however, doesn't have quite the same restrictions, as one of Mark Aaron James' biggest songs is a very entertaining take on the perspective of one of my favorite aquatic heroes. Actually, I think he's the only aquatic hero, but still my favorite.
I have a song from a previous album called Aquaman's Lament. It's probably my biggest selling song ever. It never charted. I've had songs chart before, but that song never charted. But it has millions of streams and downloads on YouTube. It's a song about being jealous. But because it uses Aquaman and Batman, it also makes people chuckle and kind of, you know, it's a wink-wink kind of song.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you why you think that song was so massive. You know, I'm a huge comic book geek, like super comic book geek. But I think you hit the nail on the head because I think we love those characters because of the feelings we put onto them. And with Aquaman's Lament, like, you can know nothing about those characters and still get the gist of the song.
And still enjoy it, exactly. And you know, it does help that comic book characters are very rabid music collectors and very much online. And also the most famous video for it, which I didn't make, a fan of mine made, uses the World of Warcraft video game. So video game people also got it and really enjoyed it. So it was a perfect storm.
It brings me so much joy to be able to share my obsessive love of comic books on my radio show all about my obsessive love of music. With Aquaman's Lament and the follow-up track, Batman's Reply, this is Mark Aaron James.
You stay here, Batman. I'll go ask my aquatic friends if they've seen anything suspicious.
Vicky, how can you even listen to Fish Face? For God's sake, I love you. I love you.
I actually tweeted to the director of the Aquaman movie saying, I know you're going for this dark, ominous, you know, more serious Aquaman, but if there's any way you can use this song or even a song from me, I think it would make a lot of people laugh just because they know the joke.
Yeah, well, I think the success of Wonder Woman and the levity in that will maybe shift things in that direction, which is a good transition because, speaking of very powerful women, you have a thank you letter from Michelle Obama, is that correct?
I do have a thank you letter from Michelle Obama sitting in my entry hall. In a nutshell, I got an email in my junk mail email account saying you've been shortlisted to play at the White House, and they want to ask for a bio and some music information, and I'll send anybody a bio and music information, so I sent it out, but I only check my junk mail every month or so. So I checked it the next month, and they say, you have not replied to your invitation to play at the White House. We'll have to give your date to somebody else. So I became a little suspicious, but I Googled the address that it came from. And sure enough, Wikipedia comes back. It's FOP.gov, and that's from the office of the president. So now I'm pretty sure it's still a scam. But I copy and pasted the address out of Wikipedia, copied and pasted the letter they sent me, and then emailed back with that. And they still responded. So I'm like, holy, this may be real. So I honestly wasn't sure that it was legit until they let us into the White House. So they sniffed all our instruments with dogs, and I played a two-hour concert at the White House on December 12th of 2012.
That's fantastic.
It was amazing.
Yeah. You know, music can help us laugh, and it can help us process our feelings, but I'm a firm believer that it can inspire social change. So I wanted to see what kind of change you would like to see take place in our current society.
Well, that's a big question. On my last album, I actually had a song called We Don't Make Mistakes about the different times. In this case, it was religion. It said, you know, you're wrong and this is wrong. And then it had to retract and, you know, from Galileo up to Harvey Milk. And it does seem that we don't learn from history a lot, that we keep making the same mistakes over and over again, sometimes bigger, sometimes smaller. But it's a weird time right now. I never thought it would get weirder before it got better. And overall, I do think that often musicians are the people who rally the troops, who express emotions, who people, artists in general, you know, television. I think television has been a big, huge factor in gay rights. I think the news and radio was a big influence in civil rights. So it, as an artist, we're supposed to be a reflection of the people and show them who they are. And by showing people who they are, we hopefully are making them better people.
Yeah, well, for people like me who were taught, well, not taught to express themselves, you know, I really turn to music to find people who were saying what I was feeling, and I didn't know that. I mean, I came out because of music. I dealt with my depression because of music. So that personal connection, I have so much affection for.
It's one of the things that is most rewarding for me is when I, you know, I'll be playing songs or that song that we don't make mistakes. I'll look out at an audience and see people who I don't know mouthing the lyrics. You know, something that I thought of in my kitchen has moved somebody enough that they've memorized it. And surely, if you're singing that song out loud, it's another person who thinks that way, because otherwise you wouldn't have learned the song. So it's a two-way street, and it's very rewarding.
Okay, so far, this episode's been very lighthearted. We've talked about magic sticks, badass unicorns, and the deep, deep feelings of Aquaman. But it wouldn't be an episode of the positive psychology of pop music without at least one song and message that I think is truly important for all of us to hear, myself included. When you look at the origins of conflict in almost any capacity, so often it is our own inability to consider the possibility that we may be wrong, or at the very least, not have all the answers, that is at the root of the problem. And it's especially problematic when both sides of the conflict are approaching it from that angle. So whether you're currently in a fight with your best friend and unable to see what you could have done better, or whether you're currently the leader of a country and seemingly incapable of considering the fact that you could be incorrect, I hope the message of this song inspires all of us to just take a second and think, what if what we've always thought was wrong? And what potential powerful positive change could come from that recognition and the willingness to talk to someone else, to see what they've learned, what they think, and to get their perspective on the world? I certainly don't have all the answers, and I don't think even Mark Aaron James has all the answers. I think the point of this next song is that none of us do, and we'll only get closer to some semblance of the truth if we get past our own egos and work together. So with that, and before I get on too much of a soapbox, I will leave you with this inspiring song. Thanks again to Mark Aaron James for taking the time to chat with me, and thanks to each of you for listening. Remember to check out the Positive Psychology of PopMusic.com for more episodes, music, and interviews, and head on over to markaaronjames.weebly.com to grab My Mighty Magic Stick, the album. For the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with We Don't Make Mistakes, this is Mark Aaron James.
Will you fight science?
Stay here, Batman. I'll go ask my aquatic friends if they've seen anything suspicious.